Hello, Carroll County. This is District 4 Carroll County Commissioner Mike Guerin. Thank you very much for joining me for my podcast, my first podcast of the year 2025. Everybody had a great holiday and looking forward to a great new year. I'm very excited to be joined today by Chief Paul Supko. Paul serves as the Deputy Chief for the Carroll County Department of Fire and EMS. We're going to talk a little bit about what has been happening with our Carroll County Department of Fire EMS the past 2 years and where we're going. Many of you are very familiar with your local fire stations. And maybe they're right around the corner, maybe they're up the street. And you're typically, you're used to those being served by volunteers, and they still are, and they still need your help. So you need to continue to do that, but there is an awful lot going on countywide as well. So without further ado, I'm gonna, again, welcome to Chief Paul Supko, and we're gonna talk a little bit about where we've been and where we're headed.
Thank you for having me here today, Commissioner Guerin. I'm excited to have the chance to talk with you and inform the citizens of Carroll County about what's going on. So I've been here for 5 months now. It was just August 1st when I was hired. First time this position has existed in the county fire department. So it's new to me and it's also new to the department. So a lot of what I've been doing is finding out where I fit in the whole county system and figuring out where the needs are. And on day one, that's pretty much where it started. I think a lot of people recall the church fire in Reese. That was my first day of employment. So since then, I think really my priority has been just getting to know people. I took my time over the first 3 or 4 months trying to meet as many people as I could possibly meet. I've met with nearly every volunteer company chief, most of the DFEMS employees, and just getting to know what exactly is going on, where the need is, and what the priorities are of the department for growth. So I could tell that we've come from a place of infancy where the department was small. We are beginning department with a small batch of employees and really starting to build out what we're going to become. And I don't know in my history that I've ever seen a department with this fast of a growth spurt. So we're close now to, as you said earlier, we have 14 stations. We're going to staff 13 of them. So we have 10 of them staffed already. So when I say staffed, what I mean is that we have career employees in the firehouse, and it typically consists of a paramedic unit that has a paramedic and an EMT on it. And then there's also a career fire apparatus driver operator. So there's a career person there to drive the fire apparatus, which is often supplemented by the volunteers if a call should come out. So that's our base deployment model. We can look at some areas that have a higher call volume, such as Sykesville, Mount Airy, and Westminster, where we've put additional medic units in service just because the call volume's there and the need's there. So as we grow as a new department, we start to inherit some big department type things that have to be handled. And I figured out very quickly that's pretty much where I fit in. My job description has me tasked with all daily operations and also the professional standards, basically handling any employee issues and assisting Chief Robinson with some other things such as the budget and operational policies. So having done that, coming in as the operations chief, one would think that I would be very heavily involved with operations. And it was actually a little bit opposite of that. I'm very heavily involved with the administration of the department because right now that's where the need is. So we've taken care of a lot of employee issues. You know, it's really important to me for the employees to have a good career path, to have pride and ownership with their job. And just working with HR, we've been able to institute a few things already just for the folks in the field. So some of those things have been, we changed Chapter 37 a little bit because I want to allow our firefighters who are like a firefighter who's driving the ambulance, if they have the ability and the skills and the classes to drive the engine, I want them to be able to drive the engine occasionally before they promote. So we had to change Chapter 37 just to pay them and do things like that.
Yes, so anything that's a force multiplier, we're being forced to do because yes. We're a small department.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. But as of today, we just hired 10 additional people. We're 191 employees, field employees, plus 12 support staff. Of those 191 employees, when you get that big, you start to have other things that you need to do. So, for instance, leave scheduling is really important. You have 191 employees that want to take a day off. They all can't take off at the same time. So now you need leave scheduling policies, practices. You need to make sure it's fair, equitable, and transparent. All those good things that come with a large department.
Yeah, having that many employees spread around to 13 different stations can't be easy. And again, like you said, we're in our infancy. We are just really, right. We're really moving into year three, technically, of this.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about, and I know this has been a major focus of Chief Robinson. It's been a major concern of the commissioners and citizens in general, but talk a little bit about the challenge And I know we've made incredible headway with the 13 separate volunteer fire companies. Again, for people who don't know this, your volunteer fire company still exists. They still own the building. They still own almost all the apparatus within the building. And the process of staffing those stations with county employees has been no accident. This has really been, I think, well thought out, and we've made adjustments where we've had to. But talk a little bit about, Chief, if you will, just the challenge of getting into those 13 different fire stations and ensuring that our county employees were assimilating, but at the same time, you know, recognizing the fact that those are still volunteer corporations. They're still there 24/7 like ourselves.
My role as the Deputy Chief of Operations really has the benefit of everyone I've met so far. Volunteer Chief, speaking about the volunteer chiefs, has been very happy to meet me. Glad I'm in place. Glad that there's somebody who might have kind of a final say on some things that are tangibles. But as I've made my rounds, every volunteer chief that I've met has been absolutely incredible to work with. And everybody has one thing in common, that they want the department to succeed. And from what I've learned, anything that we've had an issue with has just been a lack of communication or a misconception. And that's pretty easy to take care of just by being upfront with people. Every person out there knows that they can ring my phone at any point in time and I will have a conversation with them if there's a misunderstanding. Surprisingly enough, I really haven't come across anything that's a major issue. They're just all learning events where we can kind of educate each other and get on the same page.
Yeah, and really it's a tribute to you and Chief Robinson, but where there have been issues, whether it's a vendor contract, a service vehicles, maybe it's the hiring process because we've got a lot of volunteers that want to come on board with the county. Maybe it's a policy issue, but anytime we've had those issues, the commissioner member of the Emergency Services Advisory Council and the commission in general, we've heard about them pretty quickly and we've made adjustments. So right. I think that has been another key part of it. I mean, I know how, for those of us who have never been firefighters or paramedics or EMTs, we think we understand like the concept of time pretty well, but you guys, it's literally like seconds and minutes, right?
Yep.
So when we've had issues, I'd like to think we've moved as quickly as we can, maybe sometimes not fast enough, but I think, and you and I have talked offline before, the importance, and you've been integral in this, of you see an issue, you address an issue.
Right.
And that's what you've been doing.
Absolutely. And that line of communication I've had with the chiefs, I think, has broken down a few barriers with anybody who might have been worried about how the transition was going to go. Mm-hmm. And for me, the few chiefs that I've met who had an issue here or there, I take care of it right away. And I think that has a lot of face value when I'm approachable and I'm also have the ability to take care of things instead of letting them sit.
Yeah. And what's really interesting too, and most people don't maybe recognize this, is we've got volunteers. We've got these fantastic volunteers within our county, but there are also career employees elsewhere. Normally that's the case. Maybe they work in Baltimore County, Howard County. Maybe they're down working in Dulles area, Northern Virginia. They're working. They are career firefighters, but they're coming back to their county that they love, and they're providing a volunteer service. They don't get paid. None of these guys in these stations get paid as volunteers. So I think what a lot of people don't recognize is you do have a bond. I mean, you're all right from the same background.
We all essentially want the same end result. Yeah. Everyone wants to do a good job. Everybody wants to respond to calls and help the citizens. Mm-hmm. When I first got hired, I based my philosophy with becoming employed with Carroll County on two things. I base all my decisions on this. Those two things are to have a 911 response, which is sends a crew that's capable in a timely manner through effective deployment. And basically, I use that. And my number two was, don't have a line of duty death in the fire department. Mm. And we look at some of our neighboring departments, and we don't have to look too far to see some of that unfortunately happen. And on a day-by-day basis, I start to look at what you were getting at earlier, with kind of getting my finger on the pulse for where the operational tolerance is between each station. And I'll see something that is a good example. So each station might have a policy on how to respond to an inside gas leak. However, there are 14 different policies. Mm-hmm. And that's truly the root of my job. That's essentially why I'm here, is to kind of get everybody on one sheet of music so we're operating off of one set policies. And that's where you'll see me at the FROPS meetings, where it's a network of all the volunteer chief officers who are kind of collaborating to come up with one policy. The want and the need for this, I hear over and over again every time I meet with somebody.
Yeah. And again, you're talking about, you've got the ability to communicate, the will is there, the need is there, you're taking the initiative. And again, you've got groups. FROPS is a, remind me again, that's the
Fire Rescue Operations.
Fire and Rescue Operations. They technically fall under the Emergency Services Advisory Council, which, again, I can't say enough nice things about under the leadership of Rick Baker and all the people that are involved there. It is truly a collaborative effort of everybody coming together, including people that are just citizens who are serving on there. So a disclaimer to everything I've just said, I have completely made it sound a lot simpler than it is. I mean, the people who are, you know, if you're listening and you're out of station as a volunteer, you're a career firefighter with the county, only you know how truly in a lot of ways complicated and all the hard work that has gone into getting where we are now. But in the two short years that we've been doing this, I think we have done a good job. And what we're trying to do at the end of the day, we're trying to provide the best firefighter response, EMS, paramedic. We're trying to find the best response for people in the county. You've always had that there through your volunteer stations. But we needed to do this. We needed to supplement the effort there. We needed to keep up with everything that's going on in the county. And so far, I couldn't be happier. Has it been perfect? No. But just like the chief mentioned, where we see some changes, where we see things that need to be changed, whether it's policy, otherwise, we're not really wasting any time to get in there. Because like you said earlier, you can't.
Right.
I mean, this is not, you know, this is people's lives. We're right. Talking about people's lives at stake, and minutes matter.
Right.
Seconds matter. But what I want to do for the last couple minutes is put the chief on the spot a little bit and just ask him to talk a little bit about himself. I mean, in your background, if you could just kind of start at the beginning, how did you get involved with what has become your life?
So out of high school, I had an uncle who said, you should join the volunteer fire department.
And where was this?
This is in Baltimore County.
Okay.
So uncle, who, you know how you always look up to your uncle, mm-hmm. and he made that comment. And I joined the Providence Volunteer Fire Department in Baltimore County in 1987, 88, right towards the end of 87. And I was instantly bit by the fire department. I knew it was something that I absolutely loved. It was service to people. It was actually being able to help. But the job also has a lot of mechanical and science aptitude that's required, and that's definitely in my wheelhouse. And I've never been one to be afraid of work. So firefighting in general was something that just rang, checked every box for me with what I wanted to do in life. Shortly thereafter, I was hired by the Anne Arundel County Fire Department in 1991, and I had an amazing experience in Anne Arundel. Having started out at such an early year, they were kind of like where we are right mm-hmm. now. They were in this infant stage where they had some bare staffing, a lot of day work positions. They were new, they were growing. And I got to either witness or be part of that. And I think that's what I'll bring back to Carroll County was that experience. Now, on the flip side of that, I worked there for 33 years. I also got to see it turn into quite a large department. Through that time, I promoted through the ranks. I was in special operations for half of my career. So not only was I in special operations in Anne Arundel County, I was also part of the FEMA task force out of Montgomery.
So you were Anne Arundel County, mm-hmm. you were there for 33 years.
33 years.
And that is a very diverse county. Let's just make clear.
I mean,
you're on the bay. You name it. You've got ports. You've got. Yep.
We border Baltimore City, which a lot of our areas look like Baltimore City. And we also border Calvert County, which, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of farmland. So it was very diverse county, a lot of different call types. So I'll tell you, the unique thing about me landing in the spot with Carroll County was I was a training academy captain, and I was in a meeting for the Council of Academies. It's kind of like ESAC FROPS, except for it's the operations person from every training academy in the state meets once a month. When I left that meeting, there was a gentleman who pulled me aside and said, you know, Carroll County is going to hire a deputy chief of operations. You should put in for that spot. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you it was like a light switch flipped instantly. Now, I was at the tail end of my career. I knew I had one more year to work. And my plan was to sail off into my farm that's about a mile and a half here from the county office building.
Oh, really?
And that's what I was going to do for the rest of my retirement career.
Kidding.
But there was just something about the second I heard that this job was coming available. I knew I wanted the job. I had to have it. I retooled my life. I hyper-focused on preparing for the position. And here I am.
Well, I will say this. We have managed to hire some of the best folks that we could possibly hire. And I give credit to our HR department and things and some of the other folks sitting in on some of these interviews, but couldn't be happier to have you. And some of us fought very hard because we knew we needed the deputy chief position. You mentioned, you know, what happened in Arundel County, and anybody who's been around, you know, government or business long enough knows that at some point when it gets too big, when it gets to a certain size, quality suffers. Morale suffers. Mm-hmm. Everything suffers.
Right.
And it really takes somebody who's been there before to recognize that before it happens. So it's another reason why we're thrilled to have you here. And I see you and the chief and the rest of your staff. You guys don't sit still.
No.
If I go into the office and you're here, I'm usually surprised you're even here, because you really, and you're all, and if you're not somewhere in the county, you're somewhere else in the state.
Right.
Doing things with other departments and learning and doing everything you can. So, again, Chief, I really appreciate you joining me for this podcast. People really appreciate what's going on within the fire department right now. They know the importance of it. It's near and dear to their heart. But really, again, just really thanks a lot for joining me for this one.
Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome.